Wife A. Moore. This is WOR Radio New York, your station for news as it happens.
In the words of Louis Armstrong, hello, Dolly. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our Joe Franklin radio program. A very pleasant good evening. Last night we did a religious analysis. Oh, did we go deeply. Tonight, for a complete turnabout, for a real change of pace, it's going to be a musical show. We shall go musical. We shall be listening to a tape-recorded interview that I did the other night with Mr. Louis Armstrong, who appears practically no place in the way of interview appearances. I went backstage at his Latin Quarter engagement to do it with him. As a matter of fact, I think Jack Bradley was with me tonight. Jack Bradley, of course, is with the New York Hot Jazz Society, and that's a non-profit tax-exempt organization which has Louis Armstrong as honorary president and Lionel Hampton as Vibes president. I like that, Vibes president. I think Jack might be able to tell me why he couldn't get around too well, except for doing his own work that night. Didn't he have an accident at the Academy Award show, Jack?
Oh, yes. During rehearsal in Hollywood, Louis was on a movable platform, and he didn't notice it, but a couple of stagehands went to move the platform while he was still on it, and he fell over on his side and hurt his side.
But it didn't hurt his flashy teeth.
And he went right on and did the complete show without complaining at all.
He is the nicest man with the most contagious, beautiful, infectious smile. Alongside Jack Bradley, who's going to talk about jazz with me, is one of our very great musicians. And I think, Jack, you might want to invite him to one of your affairs, one of your concerts, or whatever you call them. His name is Harry Simeon, and he is the organizer and the leader of the Harry Simeon Chorale and Orchestra. And he first came to my attention when he had a big record called Drummer Boy. Harry, how have you been?
Just great, Joe.
How many in that chorale? How big is that chorale? How many voices?
We usually record with 25, 16 boys, 9 girls, and then accompaniment as we need them, with a dependent on the material itself.
That's a big operation. There's a lot of payroll checks to sign on Friday night.
There's a lot of kids there.
Is singing full-time with most of these kids, Harry, or do some of them drive a cab or take in laundry or do babysitting?
No, most of them are just in music, and we go out for 7 weeks, a year, one-nighters, concerts, and we'll be up here in Bridgeport June, and
you've been doing one-nighters, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I want to talk about that, and I want to hear the record that, what's the new song?
He Came on a Long, Long Journey.
He Came on a Long, Long Journey. Mm-hmm. Dedicated to, I would imagine, Martin Luther King?
Yes, as I said, it's timely, it's a good song, it doesn't pretend to editorialize.
Well, I read someplace, though, that it was originally recorded in tribute to somebody else.
Right, Pope John.
When was this about?
About 3 years ago.
Right.
And we meant to include it in a Cap album. The album was running a little long, and we didn't use it. But the owner of the song, Leo Talent, thought it was got Cap to pull it out a couple of weeks ago.
Release it now again.
Yes, and it's been getting very good play, particularly the Negro stations.
Yes, I want to ask you about the Negro in jazz, Jack. I'm glad we got around to this. So many people wonder. I wonder, has the Negro been neglected recognition-wise regarding his contribution to jazz? Once and for all, let's open up and talk about this.
Well, I certainly believe he has. He's been neglected in just about every other field. But in this field, which is his greatest contribution, the Negro has been completely overlooked, especially in recent years. They not only were the greatest instrumentalists and improvisers in jazz, these people provided a foundation for pop music that we know it today. All the rock and roll today came from the Negro, churches, jazz, rhythm and blues. And today many people tend to say that the white musicians in jazz have contributed just as much as the Negroes.
You don't believe it?
That's not true.
You would surely know.
I'm not saying that just because you're a Negro musician, you're going to be more creative or greater than a white musician, because that's not the case. But generally speaking, all the great improvisers in jazz have been Negroes.
Well, I bet that they've been recognized, Jack. I think the Negro, even in good music, has earned the respect of musicians everywhere.
Anyhow, music is the universal pacifier. Music is what could make friends of all people all over the world. But sad to state, well, I won't state it. I'll ask you, Jack. Is jazz taking second place today to contemporary sounds such as rock and roll?
Well, I believe it has, although what they call jazz today and what I consider jazz are two entirely different things.
A lot of what is called jazz today, therefore, really has nothing at all to do with jazz.
No, it contains none of the essential elements of jazz or good music, like a beat, a melody, good notes, and just good music.
You got an opinion here, Harry? You'll go along with that.
I'm sure you'll go along with that.
Yes.
I want to ask about the club, the New York Hot Jazz Society, INC. INC, does that stand for I Need Cash?
It could, because as a matter of fact, we do. We're a young organization. And
how long has it been in existence?
About 8 months now.
Oh, that's
and
all.
We've already got over 150 members. And
the aims, the purposes, let's do a little goodwill for the society tonight, Jack.
Well, this organization is trying to get together jazz lovers not only from around the New York area, but all around the world. We have members in France and England and Switzerland and Canada. And we're trying to help promote good music, which is just what good jazz is.
Are the members laymen too, or are they just strictly musicians?
No, most of the members are just music lovers, jazz fans. We also have some musicians as members.
But you want to support, you want to get behind something good, I assume. You want to support something which has, in your opinion, been neglected. I'd like to know exactly.
Yes.
What's the strong motivation? What's the strong thing you want to protect here?
Well, I want to present good music to the public, both in person and acquaint them with the great records and the great artists who are right around here in New York City. There's probably a greater number of jazz artists here than anywhere else in the world.
Is Louis Armstrong your personal favorite?
Definitely.
That's why when I asked Mr. Bradley to come down here tonight, Harry, and sit with me and listen to the Louis Armstrong interview and help me analyze it at the end, that he was so thrilled. He says, oh, Joe, I can't wait to hear it. I once heard that Burt Williams, Jack, the very beloved Negro comedian, the fellow who became so famous with that record of I Ain't Never Done Nothing For Nobody. Remember that?
That's
I once heard
right.
that he in some way influenced Louis Armstrong, and if that's true, I could never quite see the...
Well, that's true. Louis used to go and hear Bert in his young days, and he was greatly impressed by Bert's showmanship, and Bert sang and danced and was a great comedian, and he had everything covered, and...
I wonder why somebody doesn't do a movie on the life of Bert Williams.
It definitely should be done.
What a great man. He was the trailblazer.
Right.
The pioneer.
How about the King Oliver, Joe? Is there enough story there for a movie on King Oliver?
There's the man to ask. As a matter of fact,
definitely.
What I would like to do...
He was a great man.
Well, I'd like to pull a few names out of the air in about a minute, starting with King Oliver, and ask Mr. Bradley for a couple of flash reactions. Let me first say that we're setting up our Louis Armstrong tape. I'm chatting with Jack Bradley and with Harry Simeone, and we are recommending a movie called The Odd Couple.
Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau are the odd couple.
What's wrong, Oscar?
Something wrong with this system, that's what's wrong. I don't think that two single men living alone in a big eight-room apartment should have a cleaner house than my mother.
Paramount Pictures presents Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau as the odd couple. Jack Lemmon's half of the couple is a hypochondriac, a fuss budget, neater than neat, cleaner than clean, whiter than bright. No wonder his wife kicked him out. On the other hand, Walter Matthau's half of the couple is a guy whose home sweet home is a one-man disaster area. And he wants to keep it that way. Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau are out to enjoy all the possible delights of a shared bachelor apartment in the motion picture that brings all America the laughter of Neil Simon's Broadway smash hit, The Odd Couple, in Panavision and Technicolor.
Make a note about that picture. It's playing right now, my friends, at Radio City Music Hall, now showing with a big musical salute on the stage to Irving Berlin. In the background, the sound of a Baldwin organ. It's beautiful music. It's easy. It's fun to play. You like the organ, Harry? It's really powerful. Even if you've never played before, my friends, start now, and Baldwin will have you playing in less than 1 month. Choose from a wide selection of new, artist-used, and previously owned home and church models, including spinet, console, and theater-style organs at substantial savings. Take advantage of the Baldwin Rental Purchase Plan or budget your organ over many months directly with the Baldwin Company. And if you buy a Baldwin organ now, you'll get a free $100 lesson course from Baldwin. Look into it. Investigate. For the information, stop in or write Baldwin, 922 7th Avenue, corner 58th Street here in Manhattan, or call Circle 5-6700. Free indoor parking at the rear of the Baldwin building. Musical show tonight, that's why we're happy to talk about Baldwin. Happy to talk with Harry Simeone and with Mr. Jack Bradley. Harry, what might have been your background before you invented this chorus?
Well, I was with, came from school, went with CBS. CBS, I went with Fred Waring.
As a ranger?
Yeah, uh-huh. I was a ranger Waring since 39. We went right through that Chesterfield series.
That's not exactly jazz, Jack, but you'll admit that's pretty classy, elegant music,
it's
right?
It's good music. Well, right. He was great taste, great showmanship, and I think Fred's always been able to do a great show.
Mm-hmm. How do you get your message to all of the members of the choral group? You know, you've got so many different persons.
Well, these kids are bright nowadays.
They are quick, huh?
I use a lot of... There's a lot of kids from colleges. They'll take off. Terms, and most of these kids are serious music students who ultimately become teachers in public school, or try to come in New York and try to hack it as pros.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask Mr. Bradley now for some flash reactions. I'll pull a few names out of the air from left field, because this man knows what's happening. Mr. Bradley, I'll start with, let me see now, Duke Ellington.
Duke Ellington is the greatest name in jazz next to Louis Armstrong. He's a little different than Louis, as Louis is mainly an instrumentalist, and Duke is a great writer and arranger, and his band is actually an extension of himself, and he's still going strong today, and putting out good music as he has since the middle 20s.
Let's pull some names out of the air. Let's get the evaluation of Mr. Bradley. You pick any name, any jazz name.
Well, I heard in the interview, I heard Fletcher Henderson.
Oh, fantastic.
Fletcher gave Louis a start in 1924. He brought Louis here to play
at Roseland. This was a great band. I remember their arrangements. I don't know how many hundreds of times I played that, his Limehouse Blues.
Right.
One of the great jazz arrangements of I believe all
it
the time.
It was Fletcher that helped make Benny Goodman's band famous.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How about Ted Lewis?
Ted Lewis wasn't known as a musician, really, but he was a great organizer.
Right.
And showman. Well. And he had many great musicians in his band, like Muggsy Spanier.
I've got a record called Wrap Your Troubles in Sunshine and Dip Your Brush.
Dip Your Brush in Sunshine.
Yeah.
That's
and
Muggsy Spanier on it.
Everybody's on that. Everybody
Benny
in the world.
Goodman, he had all the great musicians.
Everybody's on that. Isn't that something? Isn't that an incredible record? Let me ask you a question about Billie Holiday. What's her contribution?
I feel that she was one of the greatest singers and improvisers that jazz has produced. She was neglected very much, especially in her later years. She died broke and sick and
destitute.
A victim of society.
That's a shame. Sidney Bechet.
There's another giant from New Orleans. He spent the last 15 years of his life in France, where he was actually worshipped, and he was called King, and he could work anytime he wanted to, any place, and he got a lot more recognition there than he ever did here.
I'm still sad about the lady who died, and after all her contribution and all the promoters and all the people she made wealthy, Billie Holiday died that way. I guess we're just a couple people sitting here and chatting, but if we could organize something tonight for the people who have made us so happy through the years. Great comedian died that way a few days ago, and his friends are honoring his memory by doing a collection for him, and his name was Jackie Miles.
Oh, yes.
It's a cruel business. People figure they hear these seven-figure salaries, but they forget a lot of people don't make $11 million in the show business.
No, they might make it one year, but the next 10, they might not.
That's right.
Jack, how about the, I was just thinking, talking about these old-timers, the great, the giants, as you call them, how about the newer, Richardsons, Jerome Richardson, the newer breed. How do they rate with the...
Well, they're very talented musicians, and someone like Jerome Richardson is considered old-time to many of today's younger kids.
I mean, as far as jazz is concerned.
Jerome is a fine musician, and as far as actual jazz soloist goes, to my mind, that's not his forte. but he's very well schooled. He could play anything. He works in studios.
You were talking about Paris a minute ago, and I know over in Paris they just idolize this guy. He couldn't do anything.
They're always ahead of us, it seems, in Europe. They were the first to learn about Louis and Duke, and even to this day, Louis' new hit record, It's Quite a Wonderful World, that's on number one on the charts in England, and here hardly anyone's heard about it.
What about Bessie Smith? Let's give you a minute on Bessie Smith.
Bessie was the greatest blues singer of all time. Louis worked with her, and she toured the TOBA circuit, which was humorously called Tough on Black Actors. This was the Negro circuit that went all over the country in the 20s. And Bessie worked in circuses and vaudeville, and she also appeared here in New York. And she had a very powerful voice. Microphones were unheard of in those days, and you know, singers like Sophie Tucker, and they had to learn to belt it out and be heard, and at the same time...
Let me ask you a question, Jack. Why was it tough on black actors?
Because they were black.
They didn't have a place to live, probably. I'll tell you one thing that I never got was interviewing the late Oscar Hammerstein on my TV show. And he spoke about Paul Robeson, and he certainly didn't condone the fact that Paul Robeson later leaned a certain way, but he certainly made it emphatic that he, as well as Paul Robeson, when Mr. Robeson was touring in Oscar Hammerstein's Old Man River, was called Showboat, and he sang Old Man River, and every night he stopped the show cold. A standing ovation, the audience shrieked. He was the hero of the night, of the month, of the year, because nobody sang Old Man River the way Paul Robeson did. But when the show ended, he had no place to sleep. No place on the road to sleep. Couldn't sleep in the hotel with the rest of the cast or whatever it might have been. But had to try to find a motel room off the beaten path. So I know what you mean by tough on black actors, but I would hope the doors are opening now.
Oh, they definitely are.
No question about it now.
But it's unfortunately, it's... been so late in coming.
Yes. How many of these people that we mentioned, I wonder, Jack, had formal training? How many went to Juilliard?
Very few of them, at least in the old days. Actually, Louis Armstrong had no formal training at all, and most of the musicians didn't because they couldn't afford it. That was the main reason. That's why many of the white bands of those days were much better as far as musicianship and playing in tune, and because they had been well schooled and they knew that.
Louis Armstrong, my friends, will be loved 100 years from now, always and always. I'm chatting with Jack Bradley and with Harry Simeone. We will be listening to my chat with Louis Armstrong in about a second. My sponsor is ShopRite. Just one reminder, if you have ever been into a ShopRite supermarket, you know why. It's just a little bit different from any other supermarket. They take better care of their customers. They know these customers. They know that they get the best quality foods at the lowest possible prices at ShopRite. That's where the big action is. That's where the money saving is. Don't be left out. Join the crowds at ShopRite. Why pay more? And when you're dining out, why not try Al Cooper's? What makes a good steak? A good chef makes a good steak. There's more to it than just throwing a steak onto a fire. Making a good steak is an art, like jazz is an art. It's a fine art. Let Al Cooper prove certain things to you. Drop into Al Cooper's famous restaurant at 130 West 36th Street here in Manhattan. Find out why jazz lovers, why chorus singers, why professional gourmets, why even gymnasts, housewives, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, fashion models. Everybody loves those delicious meals at Al Cooper's. Women come in from the suburbs to meet their husbands at Al Cooper's. They get to know each other again over an Al Cooper roast beef or fish or a steak dinner. And if they're going to a jazz concert or to the theater, there's no taxi mess. Everything is close by. So do a little restaurant adventuring in New York City. Break it up. Change the pace. One dinner at Al Cooper's, and I promise you it'll turn out to be a highlight in your dining life. You'll decide maybe to write me a little courtesy note. Many people have done this. And they've written to John Gamblin. He does Al Cooper's announcements, too. And they thank us for urging you to experience your first Al Cooper meal. It'll become your favorite spot, as it has for thousands of our listeners and for food lovers every place. Al Cooper, 130 West 36, Chickering 4, 2828. This is our Joe Franklin radio program over WORAM 710 Radio New York, your station for news as it happens. And it's really happening. The big news is that I went backstage to the Latin Quarter the other night. Now, the buzz, gentlemen, the buzz you're about to hear I might as well tell the audience the buzz they're going to hear is not the buzz on their radio. It's the buzz on my tape recording. There was some kind of a loose wire somewhere. But even Louie with a buzz is better than no Louie, right?
Definitely.
Let me ask you one question, Jack, before I lose my thought. Why, when I referred to the racial issue, which had been Louie's big, big cause only about 10 years ago, you're going to notice that when I mention this, that he seems to want to avoid it completely.
Well, he feels that the racial issue in politics isn't his cup of tea. His whole life is music, and that's what he thinks about 24 hours a day.
But at one time, he was very vehement about it.
Well, when he mentioned the Little Rock thing, it caused such a stir that he was bothered for months and months after by everyone, and he didn't want to be bothered about that. His life is music, and he feels that he preaches peace and love through his horn.
I know that once he was giving a concert in an auditorium somewhere, his manager told me this once, and I think Joe Glazer told me this once. He was giving a concert, and some dynamite went off outside the auditorium.
That's right. In the South, they set off a bomb out in front.
And you know what he said? He said, "Okay, folks, don't get nervous. It's only my telephone ringing." Is that a great, great man?
Yes, and the show kept going.
Okay. Let me present, in just about 1 minute, the voice of Louis Armstrong being interviewed. Let me give you one announcement, if I can, an important one for big men. The sponsor is the He-Man Shops, H-E-M-A-N, the He-Man Shops. And let me give you one important reminder about He-Man Shops. They're very proud to say that they cannot fit every man. If you are a regular size, please go to a regular store. He-Man Shops are specialists. If you need size 48 or 50 or even larger, if you need a long or an extra long, come to a He-Man Shop where you'll find a full range of styles in your size. If you're big, choose from suits, sport coats, and slacks from famous makers, too. 3G's, Eagle, Hamilton Park, McGregor, and many more. Choose specially proportioned dress shirts, sportswear, haberdashery, and Bostonian shoes. You just select the style. He-Man has your size, and most important, selections are not limited to the drab and dull. Exciting menswear and everything under one roof at each and every He-Man shop. There's a He-Man shop in Huntington. Look for the red and white He-Man flags opposite A&S and the Walt Whitman Shopping Center in Brooklyn, 318 Livingston Street in New Jersey, Milburn Mall, Fohall Road and Milburn Avenue. Just select the style, and He-Man shops have your size. And if you're not in a He-Man shop, well, you're not in the best place for big men. He-Man Shop, that's our sponsor. And now, my friends, complete with buzz, yours truly, chatting the other night with Louis Armstrong and Mr. Jimmy McHugh, beloved songwriter. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm backstage at the Latin Quarter right now with the personification of jazz, the jazz idol of the century and maybe of all time. Man with such great poise in his playing and in his singing. And his name is Louis Armstrong. Louis.
Yes, sir.
It's about time we got together, you and I.
Yeah, well, we eventually would, anyway.
It had to happen. So many people asked me to begin by being very basic and very official and saying about the word Satchmo. Once and for all, is that short for something or does that mean something?
A nickname, that's all. They changed it from Satchmo when I got to England, you know, and the English editor called me Satchmo, and my trombone player was in my ears, and the man think he had more mouth than Satchmo.
I remember seeing a picture, it might have been in England, where you arrived as part of a world tour somewhere, Louis, and you were wearing a catcher's mask to...
Down in South America.
To protect your lips?
Yeah, they want to touch my lips, or the fans, you know.
That's real adulation.
Yeah, so I put on the catcher's mask and went in to get out of the cab. Hello, folks, how to do?
Louis, I'll tell you, it's an interesting thing that a horn, a trumpet, doesn't know much about race troubles. A horn doesn't care much about race troubles. But I remember once when you made your personal indignation clear regarding the integration dispute, and I think it was built around the events in Little Rock in 1957 when you called off a scheduled tour to someplace or other. You were upset about something. Do you recall the incident vaguely where you were, was it traveling for the government or?
No, something like that. It was a long time.
Long time ago.
Yeah. I never bothered with yesterday's news.
Yesterday's news is passé. Today is what's hot.
Yeah, I think it's better.
Do you feel, Louis, that you're playing for some of the teenagers whose mothers or grandfathers you played for?
I play for everybody, right? till this day, from 8 years, 5 years on up, they all call Satchmo, I dug your concert, just like that.
Where'd you get your first horn, your very first horn, where and when?
In the orphanage, yeah.
In the orphanage?
Yeah, when I was 13 years old. I was the bugle boy, and the little cornet player went home, and they put me on the cornet. And listening to King Oliver, I had a lot of little goodies there for the band.
King Oliver, just for the benefit, Louis, of the younger generation, give us a few seconds on that man, King Oliver.
King Oliver, he was my idol. He the one that originated a whole lot of the stuff they call riffs on the cornet, and a lot of things five-prod brass is playing now was originated by King Oliver.
Did he give you lessons ever?
Yeah, he helped me with my lessons and everything. He was my idol. Wanted me to play right. He's the one that told me to play a lot of lead on that horn, not so much variations.
I remember
people know what you're blowing.
I remember a fellow named Bunk Johnson. I interviewed Bunk Johnson on radio many years ago. I don't know if he's still around, Louis. Did he?
No, he died.
Did he give you lessons?
No, Bunk didn't give me no lessons. King Oliver did, but I know Bunk did so well.
Who might have brought you to New York, either as an orchestra leader or as a manager? What might have been the turning point? The one thing that brought you to New York, the person or the thing?
Well, to me, I just wanted to blow the horn. I didn't care where it was. I mean, I never got to New York.
But
I wanted to blow. I was doing all right in Chicago.
But was it with somebody's orchestra that you came to New York?
No, I came here at the Savoy with Louis Russell, and then I came here and joined Fletch Anderson's orchestra at the Roseland in 1924. Yeah.
Was that kind of the golden age of jazz?
I don't know, but we was jumping. We didn't have no problem getting work. And, it was big crowds, and everybody enjoyed what we were playing. Fletcher had the first big colored band.
Yes. So far as the records, and the records of the legends that'll live on for many years, were there times, Louis, when you couldn't rehearse for your recordings maybe the way you would have liked to? Maybe you had to kind of squeeze them in, had to squeeze in recording sessions between road tours and so forth?
Well, you still do that. I mean, but you do have to rehearse before you get on that mic. I don't care how late you are.
But today, I think they prepare more. Some of the old ones were kind of...
Yeah, that's right. You have to rehearse. You know, he's going up there guessing what the other fellow's going to play, unless it's the Dixieland numbers.
So far as the...
Nowadays, they write down everything.
They write it down more. That's what
well,
I'm saying.
It sounds better when they know what they're playing.
It's been many careers through records, through the collector's items. There have been records with Bessie Smith, and then there was the Tiger Rag era, and the Chinatown, My Chinatown, and Ain't Misbehaving. And then came the Hello Dollies and Mame. And jazz musicians, Louis, have been criticized sometimes by critics for going commercial or going pop.
Well, what is commercial?
That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I'd like to know, too.
I'd like to
they
know.
They don't know either.
But they say, you know why they say
it? I don't know what they say. I live Lou Armstrong. Nobody tells me how to blow the horn and what to put in that horn and when I sing, and nobody can tell me what to do, so they're wasting their time.
They are looking to be
the
snobbish.
That day you talking about, those cats you talking about can't even get a job.
Right. But
they can hold a job.
Right.
So they go criticize a man that's working all the time.
They can criticize. They can criticize.
They can do more than that if I wasn't on the mic.
But we don't have to read their criticisms, do we?
Yeah, that's the way I feel. Nobody changed Lou Armstrong in music.
That's so, right. The old records, the collector's items, Louis, the ones especially with Bessie Smith, have you kept any of them through the years?
I got every record ever made.
Really?
Yes. And I'm on tape.
It's incredible. Do you dig anybody out of the world of jazz?
I dig everybody that's playing good.
You like them all?
I don't just dig to be digging, but they got something. Well, I've been hearing all my life, everybody in New Orleans played good. Even the Funeral March.
The Funeral
March.
That's
band. Coming to the cemetery, playing slow, he has a bird or something. Then we come back playing Didney Ramblin' when the Saints come marching in or something. Everybody's swinging and they're blowing.
So, how about on the Mississippi Showboat? Did you ever play in a riverboat?
Yeah, on the excursion boat, the steamer Sydney, right out of New Orleans. Used to leave Canal Street every night, 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on the steamer St. Paul, which was owned by the Streckwitz brothers, up to St. Louis, and went into... excursions, and we stop in Davenport, where the big spider Bix was born.
Right.
Just a kid coming on the boat then, you know?
Did you like Bix?
Yeah. Everybody likes me.
You know, since everybody names you as their favorite jazz man, it might be really newsworthy to ask you, Louis, maybe a couple of your favorite jazz people, maybe of the past.
Come on, everyone. Play good. I have respect for all good musicians that's serious about the music. So that's the way you got to do that. I have respect to all, every musician I ever played with.
Do you respect every foreign audience? Has there been... Did they understand jazz in Russia?
100,000 people listening to you. You got to respect that.
That's a real attendance, huh? Do you write songs, Louis?
Yeah, I got me some barbecue and a couple of goodies there.
Could we call him in? Would he come in and say hello?
That's the man wrote on the sunny side of the street.
This, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy McHugh, is without question the one of the last of the legends. One of the last of the legends. Jimmy McHugh. He's right here with us. I have never met Mr. McHugh, but I've chatted with Dorothy Fields.
Oh, yes.
Mr. McHugh, I know it's just throwing it at you and it's ad lib, but if you could summarize or say something about Louis Armstrong, what would be your evaluation?
Well, I can start you off by saying, I say all the time, he's the man that put the beat on the sunny side of the street, which was Dorothy Fields and mine, but Louis has recorded about 20 of my songs from 1928 on, and one of the first ones was I Can't Give You Anything But Love, Baby, and this is the 40th anniversary of that. And Louis was one of the biggest records ever on that song. He stops the show with that song the way he stops it with Dolly and Mame and those songs. In those days, Sunnyside was his big song, and I Can't Give You, Exactly Like You, I Can't Believe That You're In Love With Me. All of those songs, we had quite a parade with Louis, and I thank the good Lord for him.
Shooting High,
yeah. Shooting High. And Blue Again. Do you remember that? Blue Again. Yeah. And all of that, yeah. It was wonderful. There'll never be another. And if there is, I hope that I'll have the other song hit with him, another big one like Sunnyside or I Can't Give You.
The best days are yet to come. And the incredibly marvelous and gorgeous and wonderful thing is, Mr. McHugh, that the magic doesn't fade from the old records.
No. Well, they're full of nostalgia, and they're identified with Louis Armstrong, and that's it. That's the most important thing. When he's very meek, you know, he says a lot of things, but let's not forget that what Louis taught everybody pretty near around, you know, with the horn, and he sent them all after those high notes. Remember in Digga Digga Doo? All of these songs, all the cornet players went after what Louis did. And he was one of the great teachers. He still is one of the great teachers of our business.
Well, so far as that genius for improvisation and for ad-libbing, has anybody ever asked you if you could teach them? Is it possible to teach somebody to improvise? No.
You probably teach them how to read music.
Right.
But the nice things that you put in there that come from you, you can figure it out yourself.
Louis, I want you to know that you never looked better. Did you ever feel better?
No. Since I lost the weight, I feel much better.
What was the original weight, and how much did you lose, Louis?
See, my weight's up and down, and I keep this chart here with me at all times.
Oh!
Right in my pocket.
It says you lose weight the Satchmo way, as copied from the Harper's Bazaar by Louis Armstrong, for 9 days, black coffee and grapefruit juice for breakfast, and there's a whole schedule from 1 through 9 days. This was printed in Harper's Bazaar.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Louis,
I sign them and I give them to people. I had them printed, too.
I would love to make copies of this and send it out to our listeners someday.
Yeah, that'll be great. Mimeograph.
Could I?
Yeah, well.
Louis, have you written rock? Have you written rock yet?
What is rock?
Rock and roll.
Well, you can play rock, I mean, just any kind of time or any kind of way you want. But I know I don't adopt nobody's style or no kind of style. What's in me, I play.
That's it. Mr. McHugh.
That's the way we did in New Orleans.
Mr. McHugh, have you written rock and roll yet?
No, well, I think I wrote one of the first rock songs. We had it in the Winter Garden show in 1940, something like that. Called a thing called Rock, Rock, Rock. It started in Kansas City. Well, that was the song, and it stopped the show in those days. But nobody ever gave a darn about rock, you know, until it came in with the beat and with the guitars and all of the electrical outfits.
Do you make your home in California, Mr.
McHugh? Beverly Hills, yes.
And you're in town to visit Louis and see
just
a few
here friends. With visiting. I'm on the board of ASCAP, so I'm here, and I came over tonight to see our dear friend. He's thank the Lord for Louis Armstrong all the time.
Louis, I know you don't need my visionary genius, but I just want to tell you, I know you've got to go back to work. I want to tell you that the years that have been good, but the best years are yet to come.
That's right.
Would you be happy if you could blow that horn about 24 hours a day?
No, if I just live and feel good, I mean, I'll do something with the horn or in music, but I mean, you don't set it like that.
No.
You know, you just the main thing is stay healthy, and that's what I look forward to.
Is there in conclusion, Louis, I know you're busy, but I could do 28 hours with you, but is there any precise distinction, let's say, between boogie woogie and gut bucket and what we're hearing today, rock and roll, or is it all?
Well, I don't know. It's just styles that name it. The bookers and the promoters, they're the one that cause all these different styles with advertising to make money and all. But I mean, there ain't but two ways to play, and that's right or wrong.
Right and wrong.
There ain't but two kind of music, good or bad.
Yes. Do you understand everything you hear in the way of jazz?
Well, in a way, yeah. In the line of jazz, yeah, I understand. I mean,
you know what they're saying.
That's right. You probably won't understand everything in classic, but jazz, I mean, come from classical music. I mean, if they got any soul at all. I mean, your best singers came from churches and choirs, and it's all music.
Louis, were your parents ever around to be proud of you?
My parents? Always, even when I was a newsboy.
You were a newsboy?
Yeah. My parents was always never the old diplomat if I was called in those days.
Well, they can be as proud of you as any.
I'm proud of them, because Mama and I are such good buddies. She's the one that told me to take a laxative every night of my life.
Is that on the bottom of your recipe?
Don't you see it right here?
What does it say?
Read it, what it says here.
A laxative at least once a week is very nice.
I'm making it in my heart for somebody, there, and that's going to make them happy once a week. Just imagine me taking it every night. La, la, la.
And chatting with Louis Armstrong is very nice, too. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a thrill of thrills, and Louis is, without question, the idol of all time. And, Mr. McHugh, some night you and I might do it at great length, okay?
Oh, thank you very much. I just want to say that we have the angel Gabriel sitting right here with us on.
You know, the Boswell sisters once made a record called Rock and Roll about 1932. Have you been in touch with Connie Boswell or Bing Crosby through the years?
Not too much, other than engagements.
You know. Right. It's hard to keep friends when you travel.
We're busy. We're jumping like dodgy old dancing all over the world. You know?
Right. How many weeks on the average do you figure you keep going, Louis, roughly, do you?
Well, you don't look at it that way. If we go to Europe, my wife travels with me. We have locations. Yeah.
Was she ever a singer? Was she ever a vocalist?
No, but she was a dancer right here in Cotton Club when I was playing here 30 years ago. That's how we met.
Is that beautiful?
And we got married right here.
That is your love story. And my love story goes to Louis Armstrong, the one and only. Was it nice, Louis?
Yeah, still nice.
Been fun chatting with you. Hello, Dolly.
What'd you think?
Gorgeous. Let's do it again some night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And that's it. Louis Armstrong in the rough, in the raw, complete with buzz, but what the heck? Louis Armstrong with a buzz is better than no Louis at all, right? Let me ask each of our guests for their educated appraisal. Jack Bradley, what occurred to you listening to Louis and Jack and Jimmy McHugh?
Well, I think Louis' love for music and people came across beautiful, and Jimmy McHugh summed the whole thing up, I thought, when he said that Louis taught everyone and there will be another Louis. I second the motion.
There'll never be another, huh?
Never.
Never, never. What's one thing you might have
noticed? Even with the great music personality of Armstrong, the realization that it should be organized, and he talked about musicianship, the playing together, which I think is a very important ingredient.
We shall listen to the gorgeous singing of the Harry Simeon Chorale for a finale in about 1 minute. My sponsor has a fabulous record offer for you, my friends. If you recall the famous radio personalities of radio's golden age, or if you're discovering certain stars for the first time, this is it. The Longines Symphonette Society has produced a record album containing more than 80 authentic broadcasts. You'll hear the voices of Jolson, Burns and Allen, Jack Benny, Bing Crosby, Baron Munchausen, Billy Sunday, Jack Armstrong, all the sports stars, everybody. This Golden Days of Radio treasury is the only one of its kind. 7 LPs in one set, more than 3 hours of memories, news, drama, comedy, soap opera, everything. Everybody cooperated. Now, here's the offer. Send no money. Listen free for 10 days in the comfort of your own home. Return the treasury and owe nothing if you're not thrilled. But if you keep the set, by the way, you can keep the free record album for nothing. You can keep the radio theme songs album even if you send the set back. But if you do decide to keep it, if you decide not to return the treasury, you send only $5 a month till $14.95 is paid. Stereo, $1.80 more. You'll get a free booklet with many fascinating pictures and stories of radio's golden, olden age. To get your golden days of radio treasury to hear free for 10 days, call right now TR, as in Teddy Roosevelt, TR34022. Operators are waiting, TR34022. Be sure to mention mono or stereo, or write to me, Joe Franklin, WOR, New York 10018. No money now. Listen free for 10 days. And then if you keep the album, pay $5 a month till $14.95 is paid. TR, as in Teddy Roosevelt, TR34022. Great value. Fine recordings. If you've run out of space, move up to a Castro. That's our sponsor. A handsomely styled Castro convertible makes any room an instant bedroom in seconds. Solve your space problems the wise way with a custom-designed Castro convertible that actually gives you two important pieces of furniture for the price of one, in the size, in the color, in the fabric you have in mind. Every Castro showroom is open evenings. If you want the booklet with prices, with literature, with replicas of the furniture, with locations, write to me, Joe Franklin, WOR, New York 10018. And now, my friends, a little bit of the Harry Simeon Chorale and the song dedicated to Mr. King, formerly dedicated
came
to...
came on a long, long journey.
Right, goes like this. Mr. Jack Bradley wants to invite us to the first annual Mother's Day of Jazz. How about that?
I want all you mothers to make sure and come. Have your sons bring you as a gift to you on Mother's Day. We're having a great all-star band, Wild Bill Davison and the Giants of Jazz.
If anybody wants to contact you personally, your phone number is?
WA84896.
Say it one more time.
WA84896.
Jack Bradley, my friends, of the New York Hot Jazz Society. Big show at the Half Note, 291 Hudson Street.
This is on May 12th, Joe,
May
from
12th.
6 to 9 p.m.
For all the fathers and mothers. Big show tomorrow night, too. Big surprise. Let me thank Mr. Harry Simeon and Jack Bradley and, of course, Louis Armstrong.
This is WOR 710, Radio New York, your station for news.
Hey, what's going on here?
We are unveiling a statue of Honest Abe. A meat cleaver in one hand, a brisket of beef in the other.
Gee, I never thought of him in just that way.
Well, why not? He works for the fussy meat department.
Honest Abe?
Honest Abe Stegler.
Oh.
Look at that square chin and those piercing eyes. Honesty is written all over his face.
Yeah, it's very touching.
We're all honest at the fussy meat department.
How's that?
Some stores will take the same piece of meat, cut it differently, label it with a fancy name, and charge more per pound. But the fussy meat departments of finest supermarkets always charge the same price no matter how we cut the meat. As Honest Abe once said, no matter how you slice it, it's still bologna.
So that's where that came from.
Right. And we sell only USDA first choice meat, which we package in freezer-ready trays.
Sounds like the fussy meat departments really are fussy.
To quote Honest Abe Stegler, you could fool some of the people all the time and all of the people some of the time, but don't mess around when you are slicing liver.
I'll try to remember that.
The fussiest meat department you'll find anywhere is at your finest supermarkets. Come in and be fussed over.
This is WOR 710, Radio New York, your station for news as it happens.